cold as it is out there, I'm surprised to see anybody in this room this morning. But welcome. I'm officially calling the meeting to order, and just want to remind you all of our upcoming agenda. We are going to do this LCCMR bill today, and on Monday, on Tuesday, we will hear first the DNR recommendations on the next steps that we should do on waters. That we will not have a bill, but we will just listen to that. Then we were going to do the LOHC bill. If we finish this bill early today, we'll start that bill, and I have arranged for Tuesday night. If folks have lots to say, we will take the time, and we will go Tuesday night. So, and on Thursday then next week, we will have a hearing on pollinators. We have had a lot of feedback on that issue. There's a lot of public interest. So we will have time for public testimony, and if you have anyone who would like to testify, make sure you let Mr. Molzan know. Because if they get on the list, they will obviously get in a bit earlier. With that, we're going to welcome Representative Purcell, and I will move that House File 1874 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Representative Purcell, would you just like to start off by telling a little bit about the process that this bill gets to us and has taken to get to us?
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Sure, I spent my first time with the LCCMR committee this past session, and educational process for me, I can assure you. And we start out as many committees do, and looking at a lot of different potential activities. In this case, I believe it was 190 projects, 191 projects, 92. Anyway, we got that started out like that and got it down to 71. That's before you in House File 1874. And, you know, no easy task. It's the hardest I've ever worked on a committee, I can tell you that. And I think everybody on the committee felt about the same way, because you're going to do due diligence to look at these projects that come before you from a lot of different areas of resources, and so it was a challenge. But we got there, and we've got a bill here today, and I do have one an A2 amendment, Madam Chair, that we could.
I will offer that amendment to get the bill in the shape that the author wants it. I don't see any questions. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. Representative Purcell. You proceed with your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I think what I'd like to do with the chair's permission, is just give a little bit of an overview, and then we can have questions as you would like to have that arranged, Madam Chair. But I have with me Susan Thornton of LCCMR, and as we get into more specificity, I'm on any projects, if there are questions, I'm going to ask for some assistance, probably, although I'll do my best to read and respond, for sure. We've got and you can see in the bill about $28,970, and if we're proposing for these 71 projects, I've got a little bit of a breakdown and in a general context that I'll go through, I think are these in everybody's packets. I'm looking at the summary of 2014 appropriations is what I'm looking at, and there's a little nice pie chart on the back of that page. You can see underwater resources got about $4.5 million. Invasive species, aquatic and terrestrial, got about $2.3 million. Natural resource data is foundational. We've got about 4.2. Protect, restore, enhance land, water, habitat, about 3.7. Acquisition for habitat and recreation, just shy of $7 million. And air, climate change, renewable energy, about 3.4. Environmental education, about 3.7. Administration contract, that's what we got to run the program with there. You can see that's just shy of $250,000. So that, you know, that's a kind of a 10,000 foot and view of this thing, and I'm just going to ask Ms. Thornton to go through with some more explanation on the bill, and we'll do our best with questions, if that's okay.
Ms. Thornton, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Susan Thornton, Director of the LCCMR. And I would also like to introduce the other staff that are here with us. Mike Banker, behind me, our Assistant Director, and Michael McDonough, the Manager of Research and Planning. We're all down in room 65. We're available to provide any more detail on the items I'm going to go through. We're nonpartisan staff. We work for all of you. And then also Nancy Gibson, one of our non-legislative members, and Bonnie Harper-Lohr, and another one of our non-legislative members, are with us today. Just a reminder, members, the LCCMR were made up of 17 members, advisory to the legislature, for funding recommendations from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. And that trust fund was first set up constitutionally in 1988. And it's from the income is 40% of the net lottery proceeds into the Environmental Trust Fund, as well as investments by the State Board of Investment. So this recommendation today before you is based on the constitutional language of up to 5.5% of the market value as of June 30th, 2012. And that value was $614 million. Today, there's about $744 million in the trust fund that will be for funding recommendation in the next biennium after this one. So this is the second year of the biennium that we're before you with this annual recommendation. And as Representative Purcell said, we started out with a request for proposal, open to everybody. We received about 190 proposals, winnowed it down, had a lot of proposal hearings, and intense 6 full days, of which several of you sat on that around the table, can attest to, heard a lot of interesting ideas. And what's before you are 71 recommendations that I will briefly go through that did receive unanimous approval by the commission at its last meeting. So, Madam Chair and members, House File 1874, there are 13 appropriations. This is Subdivision 3, Water Resources, and the first five, approximately $1.45 million, are related to research and analysis and for wastewater treatment and stormwater treatments. Subdivision 3A, and the first several of them are, there's a consortium at Civil Engineering, Department of Civil Engineering, University of Minnesota. So these will all be coordinated, even though they are individual appropriations before you. So the Subdivision 3A, solar-driven treatment for stormwater and wastewater, optimize wetland treatment. subdivision 3B, looking at the bacterial function in engineered wastewater treatment systems to enhance the critical bacteria functions that are needed when subject to chemical exposure. Subdivision 3C, triclosan impacts on wastewater treatment, looking at, as we treat our wastewater, the how triclosan then processes and what how we can further reduce the impacts of triclosan in our wastewater treatment. Subdivision 3D, evaluation of wastewater nitrogen and estrogen treatment. This is cooperatively with St. Cloud State, and it's looking for that operational trade-off for treatment for the best treatment at the best cost available for our wastewater treatment systems. Subdivision 3E will be looking at antibiotic resistance bacteria recorded in sediments in our lakes. Subdivision 3F is related to impacts of estrogens on our shallow lake wildlife. This is in cooperation with Normandale Community College, and it's looking at survival, reproduction, and then evaluating options for land use and shallow lake restoration. Subdivision 3G is with the Science Museum, St. Croix Watershed Research Station, looking at before and after response to BMPs, and it will include the natural background conditions. Subdivision 3H and 3I are cooperating together. They're both to USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, related to our drinking water aquifers and our groundwater flow, hydrologic processes, and the flow. They are complementary to the County Geologic Atlas and the needs for DNR water appropriations for groundwater pumping sustainability. Subdivision 3J to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency is looking at the food web structure and dynamics and seeing how mercury is methylizing in our different northern rivers.
Ms. Thornton, would you excuse me? I think we are going to take questions as we go through this.
Madam Chair, I'm going fast, so.
Well, no, that's fine. But when we have questions, I do think we're going to take them. Was it Representative Torkelson? Did you have a question?
Yes, I do, Madam Chair. Thank you. I wasn't sure if you wanted questions during or after, and so now we know where we're at. My question really, it relates a little bit to the mercury project, but it really relates more to the process. If you recall, Madam Chair, during our negotiations of the final projects in the bill, there was a project that I was in favor of that was rejected because it had something to do with, in your opinion, something to do with implementation of a TMDL. And I'm curious if that's the policy we're going to go with in the future, if that's in writing somewhere, if this is it's been bothering me since. And since we're on this high mercury project, you know, as you know, there's a statewide TMDL on mercury in place, and implementation of that is something that this project seems to relate to, in my mind anyway. Could you explain to me how this is all really supposed to work?
Oh. If I remember correctly, and we can get the language in the request for proposal that went out from LCCMR, it specifically said that as one of its whatever you say in a request for proposal, one of the criteria was it was not going to be for TMDLs, to respond to TMDLs. So that's not where the money. So everybody knew up front that that was one of the criteria. Now, on the mercury, there are multiple things in this particular mercury thing that went in with this passed unanimously from the group. One of my concerns is that we in the state are not we're not letting pregnant women know, and moms of small children and dads of small children know enough about mercury in fish. And so to the extent that this helps us understand why in some lakes there's more uptake of mercury in the fish. I think it's to the health of everybody. So that's from my point of view. You can ask other members how they felt, but that's my point of view.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I am in no way opposed to this particular project. I'm just trying to, you know, figure out just how we work our way through the maze of qualifications. I would like Director Thornton to comment on this issue, if she wouldn't mind.
I think what would be helpful is if we could see the language in the request for proposal, or just read the language in the request for proposal that talked about TMBLs. Ms. Thornton, can you help us with that? Or I don't know, do you have that here or not? Oh, well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll take a stab at it, and if I mess up, well, Ms. Thornton will bail me out. I'm going to try and read this. This is 214 funding priority. Project being done to meet regulatory requirements will not be considered for funding projects eligible for established topic-specific agency grant programs, such as for clean water implementation, local parks and trails. Are encouraged to go directly to that particular agency grant program. That may be about as clear as mud, but that's what this says.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Purcell. So then my question is, how did this particular project get to the level that it got to if it really was outside of the parameters for projects that would be considered for TMDL funding or for LCCMR funding? And if someone could explain that to me, I'd be very pleased.
I can explain it to you. We by consensus, you were there. We had lists of projects. And the list of projects, we had a first cut, and people were invited back for a half an hour hearing. So each project had a half an hour or more of hearing, and questions came up. And from that, we went to a procedure where we put things into this bill by consensus. There were no roll call votes, if I remember correctly. Maybe there might have been one. But by and large, this went by consensus. And we brought then a consensus package that, if you will recall, was unanimously adopted. And it's that unanimously adopted package that is here before you. Representative Purcell.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Torkelson. I recall having some questions about the processes around this and having been involved in mercury research in my history, but my understanding of this is that there's plenty we don't know about methylization of mercury, and we have some significant issues in the state, as you noted, and we've got some pretty significant advisories on, especially for women of childbearing age and children, eating mercury and fish. Can't eat walleye, our state fish, and women are advised not to eat them if they're pregnant. So this, bringing these things together, this is what brought me to the point of let's learn what we can in this instance, in this proposal that MPCA brought forward, and let's get some more information so we can make better decisions. That's my take on it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have no objection to this mercury project. It's a fine project.
Okay.
I'm just trying to clarify the process that was used to eliminate another project, and it's been somewhat enlightened, but I still don't have a clear understanding of just how that all happened. And if the director could tell me if this project that was rejected, I don't know if you remember the project, it had to do with irrigation research up in Benton County. And it was the day it was rejected. It was rejected because you, Madam Chair, said it had to do with the implementation of a TMDL. And we pointed out that we have rules that say those projects are not to be considered. So how did that project get to the point of where it was considered is what my question is.
Madam Chair, Representative Torkelson, the process we use is staff forwards every proposal that we receive into the office in response to your request for proposal. We don't knock any proposal out. We don't vote. We don't. So we're your staff, and it's upon further review and consideration by the full commission, and whatever you in the end vote on, that's what we work with those proposers to support. So that's how it came forward. There were a number of other proposals, in my recollection, that also we made a note in them related to the TMDL for your review.
Representative Torkelson, did you have a final comment here?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm struggling to put my final comment together. I'm sorry about that. But I do know that the folks that work at LCMR do communicate back and forth with project proposers to try and make sure that their projects are fit the mold, so to speak. And so I just have some reservations here, and I just wanted to have a chance to express those. Thank you, Madam Chair, for taking the time.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to the point about the rules and the TMDLs and so forth, if we as an LCCMR committee have those rules, you know, it's always easy to look back, but would it be wise for us to make sure that if we do have rules for how the process should proceed, that maybe staff should be making recommendations that, you know, this proposal falls outside of the rules. You may want to take a look at how those rules are stated and what your purpose is, and maybe we as LCCMR should just say, you know, sorry, this falls outside the rules, and we should end that discussion right away. That's just for point of clarification for this process as it moves forward. Thank you.
Continue, Representative. Ms. Thornton, if you want to continue with projects.
Madam Chair, members, yes, thank you. I believe we left off. We're on Subdivision 3K to the Fresh Water Society in cooperation with the West Central Initiative. And this is a small project to provide training and technical assistance to citizen-based organizations. Subdivision 3L to the University of Minnesota relates to rainwater reuse for reuse in evaporative chillers and other reuse systems to help better manage stormwater. Subdivision 3M is to the Red Lake Watershed District, and this is a continuation of a project with U.S. Geological Survey to measure the hydraulic benefits from the Glacial Ridge Habitat Restoration. This is adding to a 2013 appropriation. And Madam Chair, then we move into Subdivision 4, Aquatic and Terrestrial Invasive Species. The first one is Subdivision 4A, and this is a new proposal. It's in cooperation with the United States Army Corps of Engineers working with Dr. Peter Sorensen to look at the potential opportunities for modifications of lock and dams number 2 through 8 to what are some different control mechanisms to impede invasive carp movements. Dr. Sorensen came in wanting to look at lock and dams 2 through 5. The commission said we'd really like you to really look at the system and 2 through 8. So we actually added some dollars to his proposal to enable him to do that. And as you might recall, Dr. Sorensen's the lead on the Aquatic Invasive Species Center. Subdivision 4B is University of Minnesota Duluth. It's another one looking at invasive carp, looking at options for with bioacoustic technology to defer the carp. Subdivision 4C is another aquatic invasive species project. This is to the Red River Basin Commission. And this is a pilot project looking at what are some opportunities that can be done for aquatic invasive species control on a watershed basis. And it's meant to be a pilot and a model for other watershed initiatives. Subdivision 4D, now we're moving into terrestrial invasive species, and that's with the Department of Agriculture in cooperation with the University of Minnesota. And this is another appropriation continuation of the look at control and biocontrol of emerald ash borer initiatives. Subdivision 4E is again a cooperative venture with the University of Minnesota and Department of Agriculture look for early detection and potential for rapid response to the mountain pine beetle. We have an estimated 191 million pine trees susceptible to this in Minnesota. Subdivision 4F, again, a joint venture. U of M, Department of Ag, on looking at biocontrol agents for the brown stink bug. Madam Chair, members, then we move into Subdivision 5, which is foundational natural resource data and information. And these items and this particular funding issue have been a priority for the LCCMR over the last number of years. Now, this also includes a number of wildlife and research components. 5A is to update the statewide land use cover map, and it has not been updated since 2000, and that used data from the early 90s, and it would be looking at impervious surfaces, urban tree cover, water, and used in watershed modeling, and it's used by a full range of natural resource managers. Critical baseline component for their natural resource work. Subdivision 5B is to the DNR, and that's for state spring inventory. And these are the groundwater discharge points for our systems. And this is to develop procedure and protocol for that initiative, be used in groundwater quality and quantity monitoring. Subdivision 5C is to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and that's to update our drainage records. And again, it will develop the template and the protocol for a web-based system for that modernization of those records. And again, a critical baseline component needed. 5D is restoring forest inventory to the University of Minnesota, and this is some data that's missing. And so for long-range ecological habitat research, really getting a full set of data complete. 5E, also to the University of Minnesota, is assessing vulnerability to climate change using phenology. Phenology is the timing of biological events, such as flowering. This is going to compile historical records and establish a network to build on, and it will make data available for adaptation strategies. Subdivision 5A is the final appropriation to Audubon in cooperation with the University of Minnesota NRRI for the Breeding Bird Atlas, which is be the final analysis and publication. To date, they've had over 350,000 observations, and this is used a critical component for habitat management. Madam Chair, members, 5G is a continuation. It's to Department of Natural Resources, which is the lead, and this is assessing contaminants in Minnesota loons and pelicans and the impact of these species from the Deepwater Horizon Gulf oil spill. And potentially this has the use for Minnesota receiving remediation funds from the Federal Natural Resource Damage Assessment process. 5H is to the University of Minnesota, and this is a research project on sandhill crane populations and management. 5I is to the DNR, and this is the first of a series, well, they're kind of throughout as I walk through the bill, of a pollinator initiatives brought to the LCCMR that the LCCMR is recommending. This is for wild bee pollinator surveys in our grasslands and our prairie habitats. 5J is a joint project with the Minnesota Zoo and the DNR looking at imperiled native Minnesota butterfly species, in particular the Dakota skipper and the Powashik skipperling, and there are 10 other species of concern. And this would also set up a breeding and monitoring system. 5K, Conserving Minnesota's Fresh Water. This is to the University of Minnesota in cooperation with McAllister College. This is a research project looking at how we can restore native mussels and the functions that they perform in our rivers, such as filtering water and removing sediments. This will be done at the St. Anthony Falls Outdoor Stream Lab, which I believe many of you have visited. We've lost over half of our native mussels in the Minnesota River in the last 50 years. 5L, 5L and 5M are additional research projects on our declining Minnesota moose.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want comments or questions in between or only at the end?
No, let's as we go, I think is better.
Okay. On the native freshwater mussels, I don't know who else saw it, but there was a terrific article in the Science Times of this week and the New York Times on Tuesday on a bacteria that's going after zebra mussels. It's the first thing that's done zebra mussels. And it's funny because the picture that they show on the front page, it's a New York biologist, but the picture that they show on the front page is from Lake Carlos in Minnesota, which shows the freshwater mussel totally covered with zebra mussels. And I wondered if there's some way we could interact with that project and you know, I don't want to rewrite this to say that you'll add whatever it is, the bacteria, well, Pseudomonas fluorescens, add pseudomonas, but it would be interesting to talk with the people doing this project to look if they're working on this, because
I think Ms. Lorton can give us some guidance here.
And Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, and thank you for calling attention to that article. I, too, noticed it, and we sent it out to the LCCMR members. James Lomuth from USGS, who they quote in there, is actually working on an appropriation that was adopted last year on Zequinox, which is the bacteria that you are speaking to. That's now looking at from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. And so it's, happy to say, we're ahead of the curve
okay.
on that one. And I think it would be very interesting to have them come in and speak to members because of your interest on that. And in addition, the one of the people quoted in there, I believe Michael McDonough on our peer review on this project, actually had in and did some of the peer review on this. It's a small world out there for zebra mussel research. But we've got it online. We'd be happy to provide it to the committee staff, and they could send it out.
So instead of having to plow through the whole New York Times, I just needed to get on your mailing list.
Okay. If you will continue.
Madam Chair, members, thank you. I was on, moose. We went from freshwater mussels to moose. All sizes of critters. As you know, Madam Chair and members, the Commission has put some significant effort in the past also into moose research. These are two additional appropriations, one to the University of Minnesota in cooperation with DNR, one to DNR in cooperation with the University of Minnesota. And 5L is really looking at the diet and the body condition and then the role of forest age, structure, and composition on the moose survival. 5M is looking at moose decline and the air temperatures and also continuing DNR's work on calf production and their survival. And again, we've got all sorts of detail in here, and I know the House Environment Policy Committee got a wonderful update the other night from some of those researchers on these efforts. 5N is a small project to an organization called Minnesota Wildflowers Information, and this is really to improve and enhance and make broader a website that they already have up that's very user-friendly for the general public. it's really much more than wildflowers. It's broader, much broader. It's they will have up there about 2,100 vascular plants. I encourage you to look up their current website. It's very user-friendly. Now we're moving on to subdivision 6, which are methods to protect, restore, and enhance land, water, and habitat. There are 11 appropriations in this subdivision. 6A is another pollinator initiative. This is to the University of Minnesota, Dr. Marla Spivak. And this is to enhance the bee lab, really providing long-term research and coordination, looking at the sources of nectar and pollen for native pollinators. 6B relates to collapse of our native and honeybee colonies also, and this is the second phase of previous research related to the impacts of systemic insecticides. This will be field trials. The previous appropriation had been done in the lab. That's Dr. Veera Krishnak. Subdivision 6C, prairie sustainability through seed storage, beneficial microbes, and adaptation, is University of Minnesota. And this is assessing genetic diversity to potentially be used for adaptation and looking at microbes that benefit prairie health. Subdivision 6D is the second phase of a project for the Northeast Minnesota White Cedar Restoration to the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And this is to restore and provide training for these unique wetland functions that the White Cedar provides for timber, carbon storage, and habitat. 6E, Southeast Minnesota Watershed Protection Plan to the Nature Conservancy. This will be focused on the Cannon and Zumbro River watersheds, and it's to help guide cost share priorities. Subdivision 6F and 6G, the first one to Great River Greening, the second one to Friends of the Mississippi River. These are coordinated, part of the Metro Conservation and Habitat Corridors group of agency and NGOs, and for restoration initiatives. Subdivision 6H is to the Red River Basin Commission, and this is to analyze the capture and reduction of nutrients loading from runoff using flood storage reservoirs. And using cattails and other vegetation grown. And the hope would be this could be duplicated in other areas. 6I is to the University of Minnesota Crookston, and this is for potential management and bioharvesting of exotic cattails, and what are some of their uses and related wildlife impacts. 6J is to the University of Minnesota NRRI, and this is to take some dredge sediment from the St. Louis River estuary, the Erie Pier area, and place it near Virginia on former mine land for the substrate, and then to analyze reforestation and how fast or how slowly that reforestation will be growing on that reclaimed substrate. Now we're moving into subdivision 7, which is land acquisition for habitat recreation, and there are 6 appropriations here. The first one is to the DNR, and there have been consistently the commission has provided funding for the Scientific and Natural Area Program for acquisition, restoration, and they're really beefing up their citizen outreach. They will be acquiring approximately 1 to 3 parcels, about 240 acres of high-quality habitat with rare and unique features, restoring about 770 acres of existing SNAs, and then, as I stated, really doing some strong public outreach on these lands and the opportunities for the public to get on these lands. 7B's acquisition for the Metropolitan Regional Park System, and these are within the boundaries of our regional parks. And this will be matched by approximately $1.8 million of Metropolitan Council bonds and local funds. 7C is a segment of the Mesabi Trail. This is to the St. Louis and Lake Counties Regional Rail Authority. This is part of a planned 145-mile trail from Grand Rapids to Ely. About 115 miles of those of that trail are currently completed. 7D is a unique acquisition. This is to Washington County for St. Croix River shoreland, and this parallels Browns Creek Trail in the city of Stillwater. And this will be matched by, must be matched by at least $2,500,000. 7E is to the Fox Lake Conservation League in cooperation with Martin County for acquisition of approximately 40 acres in Martin County that includes a unique 10-acre prairie that contains prairie bush clover. 7F is to the city of Morton for a Minnesota River water trailhead and landing and includes the acquisition of approximately 31 acres. Now, Madam Chair, we move to the next subdivision. Subdivision 8, Air Quality, Climate Change, and Renewable Energy. There are 9 appropriations here. 8A to the University of Minnesota, and this relates to manufacture or research on solar cells using a microwave-based method for thin film production using sulfur waste. 8B is to the University of Minnesota looking at using groundwater flow, a closed loop system for geothermal heat pumps. 8C is to the University of Minnesota, and this is looking at 3 wastewater waste streams for the production of biofuels, scum, algae, and sludge. 8D is to the University of Minnesota West Central Research and Outreach Center in Morris. And this is for education, outreach, and research, including life cycle cost estimates, to test and evaluate clean energy systems for modern swine production facilities. And to help the farms reduce their fossil fuel use and increase local energy production. And they will be focusing on wind and solar. 8E is also to the University of Minnesota West Central Research and Outreach Center in Morris. And this is on life cycle cost of various renewable energy for producing nitrogen fertilizers. It's an economic modeling project. And they've done this with wind, but wind's intermittent, and actually that was partially funded many years ago by the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. This will be looking at a biomass gasifier, anaerobic digestion, and hydropower using electrolysis. And they will also be doing this in cooperation with Chippewa Valley Ethanol. 8F is to the University of Minnesota Southern Research and Outreach Center. And this is looking at 2 waste streams, sugar beet processing wastewater and swine manure for hydrogen and methane production and to install a pilot system. 8G is to the University of Minnesota, and this is for community, looking at community-based large-scale septic system designs for using microbial electrolysis cell in septic systems. One of their targets could potentially be, if you can envision it, like the MnDOT rest areas would be a potential use of this. 8H is a cooperative for solar voltaic installation at 6 residential environmental learning centers. purposely designed for educational outreach at those centers on solar installation at a size that one might put in your individual house. 8I is, I task a community college to design a renewable energy system for woody biomass. Madam Chair, Subdivision 9, Environmental Education. And the commission had a focus on career enhancement, experimental education, and really getting children outdoors. 9A is to Board of Water and Soil Resources, and this is the third appropriation for what's called the Minnesota Conservation Apprentice Academy. And it's really to provide mentoring and internship opportunities with soil and water conservation districts. It's been a very successful program in training our next generation of conservationists. And it provides a lot of youth and enthusiasm and knowledge to the SWCDs. 9B is with Prairie Woods Environmental Learning Center and Laurentian Environmental Learning Center on some private and public partnerships on what's called Project YES, and they'll be reaching approximately 650 students, grades 7 through 12, at approximately 40 schools in the central part of the state, northeast, southwest, and southeast Minnesota. And they do, they look at energy conservation, solid waste reduction, locally grown food, water conservation, really getting these student-led, locally driven teams. 9C, to Wilderness Inquiry, in cooperation with Park Service, Minneapolis and St. Paul Schools, to really engage middle and high schools and sixth grader Minnesota school districts in a variety of experiential, place-based outdoor learning initiatives. You may have seen their Voyager canoes on the Mississippi River. They're quite a sight as they're going in. These are many times that these students have been on or near the river that's in their backyard. And they do an awful lot of teaching of water quality. 9D, University of Minnesota and Minnesota DNR. This is, again, looking at career opportunities, higher ed opportunities, and internships. So it's that cooperative venture with the agency and with the university. 9E is to the Will Steger Foundation, and is to provide forums, workshops, and trainings on Minnesota's changing climate. 9F is to the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, and this is to develop exhibits for a new educational center focused on pollinator education at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. 9G is another pollinator project. This one is to Pheasants Forever, to work with communities and their chapters on small education and habitat projects throughout various regions. They hope to involve about 800 youth and 200 adults in these initiatives. 9H is to the University of Minnesota to reach middle schools on raptor education using online and outdoor learning environments. 9I is to the International Wolf Center, and that's for wolf management education to do outreach actually in the metropolitan area.
Excuse me.
Yes, thank you.
I have a question here, Representative Bacon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Thornton, has the curriculum for 9I been developed at this point?
Ms. Thornton?
Madam Chair, members, I would have to, Representative Fabian, I would have to look that up. I am assuming it has one of our, again, stated items in the request and proposal are that the commission does not intend to fund curriculum development, but would assist in outreach and further implementation of curriculum already developed. But I will have to look that up. I don't want to misspeak.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see staff is scurrying back there a little bit. So if we could get that, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Can you continue?
Madam Chair, almost done. Subdivision 10 is, we work with, for contract $1,000 for contract management reimbursement for the non-state agency appropriations within this legislation. There is a contract done on a reimbursement basis, and the commission contracts with the Minnesota DNR to perform that on behalf of the legislature, and this is to pay them for that service. 10B.
What's your question on this?
Actually, Madam Chair, I do have a question on this, but I had a question on the previous item first, if I could.
Certainly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Purcell, in the call for this section, it called for getting children outdoors. And my question goes along the line of Representative Fabian's. When I look on the Wolf International Wolf Center, they have some really good online help for educators in regards to wolves and wolf education. And I was wondering what the $120,000 was going to be used for. And then I got thinking, if the call is to get children outdoors, and in full disclosure, I realize that one of the LCCMR members is involved with the Wolf Center. I believe it's the vice chair of the commission is. But also in full disclosure, an area that has gotten funding in the past, the Deep Portage Learning Center. If I'm not mistaken, Purcell, Representative Purcell, that may be in your district now after redistricting. It used to be in former Representative Howe's district. I believe it may be in yours. They actually are in the business of getting children outdoors. They house them there. They do it, if I'm not mistaken, with no government subsidy. They get grants and such, but they don't work with a subsidy. And that actually has an LCCMR member involved in that operation too. So I think what I'm bringing up isn't like I'm questioning because one LCCMR member is involved in one of these projects. I actually am questioning why isn't the Deep Portage Learning Center, which is in the business of bringing children outdoors, houses them for, I'm sure Representative Purcell, you've been to the facility, yes, and I know Representative Wagenius has been, and I've been there, and I believe other members, Representative Torkelson, I think told me that he's been there. Why would we not be funding a place like that that's actually in the business instead of funding it for one that we can't ask the question here, what are we going to do with the money? The Deep Portage Learning Center, as a matter of fact, Madam Chair, why don't I ask one of the pages I did happen to make? I think the requirement is for 50 copies, and maybe the page could hand that out and make them available to the public, about the Deep Portage Learning Center in Representative Purcell's district, and why wouldn't we be giving this $120,000 to somebody that's actually in the business that meets the call? Or are you going to, maybe the Wolf Center has facilities to house them. I was only there a long time ago and don't remember. But Representative Purcell, I'm troubled with this funding in the second year and why it actually is not going to someplace like the Deep Portage Learning Center.
Madam Chair, and I thank you, Representative. I don't know that I can give you the answer that is needed here. I can tell you I thought about some of these things and getting young people out to interact with wolves. We could bring them up to Representative Fabian's district or my district and we could have that interaction because we hear them pretty regular. Look at what you're handing out. I haven't been to the Wolf Center, so I can't speak to that facility, and I'm gonna ask for some assistance in that. I'm familiar with it, but not that familiar. But my understanding was that they did have some capacity to house folks and at least in that area. But if I could plug Deep Portage, and I thank you for bringing that up, but I can't I can't say any more about it. I'm going to defer here and see if we can get a better answer.
Well, I think we should point to 8H, which does fund Gate Portage.
Sure.
8H, did I say that right?
All right. Madam Chair, members, and collective members here, in answer to first backing up to Representative Fabian's question, there is not, which is, I was pretty sure of because we call that out, curriculum development within the 9I Wolf Management Education. The goal on this one is they're not housing students. The goal on this one is they are an educational organization. And actually, the goal on this one is so to bring out for outreach and outreach from the Wolf Center actually down to the Twin Cities metropolitan area, so that students don't to have the benefits of the education that they can provide, that students don't have to always travel to Ely. So what they wanted to do was to make sure that their education and information really was available to an audience that might not be able to afford that travel and that time to travel up to there. As you know, many times really a big barrier to partaking in environmental education and going to some of these residential learning centers is the expense of travel. So that's what it's about, just relaying that. And related to the Deep Portage one, this is their initiative. This is what they asked for. And they're coming in as a group, and they want to work interactively on the education of what's going on in these with this installation of the solar array, what's going on, so that you know what the temperature is at Deep Portage. Well, down in southeast Minnesota, how much solar are they being able to use to displace their energy generation? So that's what's really unique about that, is that they came in. And this is what was proposed. This is what was reviewed. So that's what's before you, members.
Okay, Representative
Ackerman. Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Ms. Thornton, you're right that Deep Portage is getting $25,000 under Subdivision 8. Which is not environmental education. It's air quality, climate change, renewable energy. In environmental education, they're not getting any money. Representative, okay. It's in Section 8, Madam Chair. Did you want to correct me on that?
No, I didn't want to correct you, but I think this is what they asked for. They didn't ask for other money. I think that was the... So I need that to be clarified. Ms. Thornton, didn't they ask for the solar? And that's the only thing they asked for?
Madam Chair and members, yes. And we could have put this in the environmental ed subdivision. It fits there. That's part of the it has multi purposes, both for the renewable energy installation and the educational component. And this is the dollar amount that they requested, and they received the full funding for what they requested.
Okay. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Purcell, it's good to know that you just give people what they ask for, and if you think of something that might be needy, you don't consider that. You just go with what's asked for. So the Wolf Center wants to have $120,000 in the second year. They have a terrific online tutorial that you can go online. I've got it brought up right here. It's already available. I think they let it come to my district out in the exurbs of the metropolitan area. And Representative Purcell, your teachers get to use it also, unlike this allocation that's only for the metro area. Also, I think it's important, Madam Chair, to note, Representative Purcell, you talked about how they could come up into your district or Representative Fabian's district because I'm assuming of the expansion of the Wolf Range. Since we protected the wolves in 1973 and 74, the Wolf Range has expanded. Contrary to what the Wolf Center's says in their... They say that the range has ceased to expand. The environment with population increase, it is not expanded. And that's not true, Representative Purcell. They also talk about the stable number of claims for wolf depredation at 70. Well, conveniently so, they state statistics from 2010 and 2011. If I'm not mistaken, this is 2014. The number of wolves taken by the federal control agents in 2012 exceeded 200. Last year, if I'm not mistaken, it was under 100 because of the new management by the gray wolf in Minnesota. So we're giving $120,000 to an organization with an affiliation of a member on the commission when we have an outfit in your district, Representative Purcell, the Deep Portage Learning Center, that many of us have visited, that is unbelievable in how good they deliver. And we're giving them $25,000 because one of the things they have there is solar. They have wind power. And Representative Purcell, like you, they're probably concerned about how much wood they have left this year because 100% of their heat is generated by their on-site boiler that's state-of-the-art with no government funding. We have an opportunity to give them $120,000 and bring kids in a bunk setting that reminds us of when you and I were children. That's the terrific thing to be doing. And we're not giving them more money because they didn't ask for it.
Madam Chair, can I just respond here? I just, will you come up and work with me this fall in my district, please? I would appreciate that. That's some good plugging for my district. Thank you. Well, I'm not going to get into a debate about the wolves. This old trapper tell you that the wolves are more wolves now than there was 30, 40 years ago. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but can we do more Deep Portage? Well, we'll talk about that. They have a lot of good things going, and that boiler is an excellent example, and we want to be able to use that woody biomass. They're doing wonderful gasification things, absolutely, and they've done it because the people just want to do it, because they have a conscience, because they want sustainability, and they're good stewards of our forests up there. So I thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Purcell, and I know you're concerned about the amount of wood. And if you're going to make it through the winter or not. And when you drive by on 371, my pile is very big. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten to the cabin as much as I'd like to this year, and you're welcome to stop by with your truck and load it up if you need to get by, because I know the wood's important for you in heating your home.
You're a good man, Representative. Thank you.
Well, and you are too, Representative Purcell. And I hope, Madam Chair, if I'm not mistaken, the only other stop for this bill is a Ways and Means, and I do not have an amendment prepared today, and I know there's a 24-hour rule in this committee. But Representative Purcell, I think you should look at if you're the area that's in your district at my prodding of you to consider that money may be better spent at Deep Portage. I think the Wolf Center does a great job in a number of respects. I think they could update some of their information. There are requirements in how this money is supposed to be spent, so it shouldn't be spent on certain things. It's supposed to be for education of the children. But we would get a lot more to send in 120 grand to Deep Portage, I believe, the way they're set up. And it shouldn't be limited to the metro area. And actually, my area probably counts. I'll probably get it. But over half the people on this committee won't get any of that money. And I think their children deserve to know about wolves and about the rest of the environmental stuff. And the call is much more centered to a place like Deep Portage than the International Wolf Center, that probably needs to update their website better on some of the information they've got. Thank you, Madam Chair, for the flexibility.
Did you have no question? Okay, did you have a question? No.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, I raised the issue about the Wolf Center and the curriculum and so forth, because when I look through there, I don't see things in there pertaining to wolf depredation and so forth, and the effect that it has on an agricultural community with regards to livestock and the losses that occur in my district. I hope that as this project moves forward, that the Wolf Center is strongly encouraged to make sure that they have a complete overview of what the wolves, the interaction in our environment and the effects that they have, both positive and negative, depending upon which side of the issue you're on. But we need to have a balanced presentation in these things. If it's going to be something that neglects to express the concerns of the people that live in my district, I think we're doing a disservice to the kids and also to the state of Minnesota, quite frankly.
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, and I believe that if they're true to the words that are on this paper, and this is accurate about wolf biology and behavior, that's part of it, what you just said, and it needs to be in there.
Madam Chair, thank you, and thank you, Representative Purcell, for that. And to that point, that's why I asked specifically for the developed curriculum, because I would like to see that for myself. Okay. Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question relates to the language on 2718. It stuck out to me like a sore thumb. Outreach to metro area kids. You know, what about the kids in Glenwood or Stock Center? Why is this being limited to just metro area kids? It just seems so inclusive to me that it doesn't seem fair. Could you comment on that?
Madam Chair, are you in the bill? Are you going to tell me where you're at? Okay.
Page 2718?
Yeah.
Wolf management education outreach for metro area kindergarten through 12th grade classrooms.
And your question, Representative, was that why isn't that a more broad outreach?
Yeah, it says metro area kindergarten through 12th grades has been mentioned before. There's kids all over the state that may want to learn about wolves. Why limit it to one area?
I'm gonna defer here a little bit, but I think that's where their proposal was saying. So we, and whether or not they have enough funding to do anything more, I don't know. So I'm gonna defer here.
Madam Chair, members, as I tried to state earlier, I think they were looking at the cost and the transportation barrier. This provides dollars for an outreach specialist and travel and materials. I would guess their response, I'm guessing, would be we could do this statewide, but we need more money in the budget to do it. This is what they proposed. This is what they saw as an organization, as a need. I can't recall whether there was that discussion related to your question when the commission reviewed this or not. I don't know if other members might recall that.
I don't recall that either, Representative Anderson, whether there was a discussion. I'm sorry, I don't recall that. Did you have another question?
A follow-up.
I've got other people on the list. We'll put you on. Representative, did you have a follow-up? Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman and members, I haven't been on LCCMR, but I used to, years ago, chaired LCMR. And one of the major things you need to do is deal with the proposals that are presented to you and then tweak them rather than trying to initiate new proposals. If you want to initiate new proposals, because if the commission is trying to do it all by itself, that means that you haven't had the sufficient amount of thought into it from the group that's presenting it. And to expand this, for example, to say it should go to kids in all the states, or to say that Deep Portage should have done another one, the place to work with it is in the proposal presentation time before they're doing it, and to work with them at that level. Because I know how hard the job is to sort through these. I can't imagine it's gotten any easier since the days that I did it, and it's really tough if you're going to try and second-guess the people who have brought projects to you.
Thank you, Representative Kahn. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Representative Purcell, I thought I heard at the beginning that you had put put out a request for proposal. You had a large number of applicants, and as a committee, bipartisan citizens and legislative committee, you worked through those projects, you cut them down to a certain number, then you polished them again. And I haven't served on LCCMR, but on Outdoor Heritage, you know, it's kind of the same process. You put out a request for proposal where people can apply. And I think the words that have been used here about asking for projects, this is actually an application process. Is that correct? It's an application process.
Yes, Representative Hanson, that's correct.
And Representative Purcell, it's a public application process. It's anybody can apply, meet the criteria, public meetings. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so the bill, and I see this bill was, this bill pre-filed, so it's been out there for a month?
I'm not exactly sure how long, but yes, it's been out there a while.
And Madam Chair, I'm just looking, it says January 13th, so it's been out there. But Representative McNamara, I'm a little confused because, you know, I don't remember ever going when we have requests for proposals to say, gosh, you know, you've followed the process, you've filled out an application, you've got it in black and white, you've got stakeholders and cooperators. Is there somebody else that could do this instead of you? Have you checked to see if there's anybody else who can do the same thing that you've spent your time and effort on applying? I don't remember. I mean, Representative Purcell, do you ask that question in LCCMR of any of these projects where, say, gosh, is there somebody else who could do this instead of you?
Madam Chair, Representative Hanson, I don't recall that being a question that was asked. Certainly are questions that are asked when proposals come in that address a subject area, and can folks work together, that kind of a thing.
So the bill that's in front of us is because people applied in response to a public request for proposal. They applied, went through the process, the bill got in, and it was unanimously voted for, right?
That's correct, Representative Hanson.
And is in front of us today. Now, members can vote as they want. That's the opportunity of having legislative advisory commissions that provide us with things. But to go back and say, well, let's recreate a project or create a project because we think somebody else should be doing it. Deep Portage could have applied. They applied for something else, so they obviously know the project. Any of these projects anybody could apply for. So it's just kind of confusing to me that we're at this point when this isn't our first rodeo here, folks. We've been through these over and over and over and over again with citizen commissions, and we're going to have another bill later on. So if we want to start from scratch on proposals, then we don't need the advisory boards and that whole process, because we can just start over and start putting the projects in and start talking about my project or project from your project rather than the project from the proposers who respond through the public process.
Thank you, Representative Hanson. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of questions. In response to Representative Hanson calling out the public process involved here, Representative Purcell, could you clarify me the number of committees you're going to bring this bill forward, that allow public testimony? Representative Hanson talked about the transparency of this bill and the openness to the public and the ability for the public to come forward. How many committees in the Minnesota House will you travel through that allow public comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative McNamara, this committee and Ways and Means is where we expect this to go. We've had, I'm going to try and recall, but I won't be able to, how many meetings we had of LCCMR and folks coming and testifying there. I mean, I don't know if I can put it on both my hands, but there was a lot of them.
Okay. So a lot of committees, Madam Chair. This is the only committee that will take public testimony. Extremely rare for the current chair, the prior chair, and especially the prior chair before that, Chairman Solberg, that public testimony would be allowed in Ways and Means. Very unusual. Madam Chair, you and I both have served on it for a number of terms. They do not take public testimony. Representative Hansen, this is the only committee that this committee has a chance to question the policy and the funding. And to chastise a fellow member for questioning whether the priorities are right for this $120,000 is embarrassing. It's the job of the members that don't serve on that commission, and the chair herself said there was one roll call vote. You and I serve on Lazard Sams. There's been scores of roll call votes there where we actually question things that are going on. I didn't say it was asked. The chair of this committee used the word asked for the money. I didn't use that. That word didn't sound right to me. They didn't ask for it. You're right. But to think that we're not supposed to question a project, especially one that looks the way this one looks, is embarrassing, folks. I certainly hope when you scoot this out of this committee that the Ways and Means and Representative Purcell, and I specifically brought up your center as I was driving in this morning, I thought, why aren't we giving that 120 grand to Deep Portage? And I'm being chastised because I suggested that. Well, welcome to the Minnesota legislature and the minority. Thank you, Madam Chair.
One of the things I would ask you, Ms. Thornton, to do is to figure out how much time was spent by the commission preparing this. And with that, I'll ask for public testimony. Is there anybody in the public who would like to say yay or nay or make a comment? I don't see any. I don't see further questions from members. Representative Fabian, did you have a question before? We are going to vote in a moment, so we'll take your question first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to the point of the Wolf Center, I've been doing a little research here real quickly with regards to their online curriculum. It talks in here about ungulates, you know, which are deer and moose and those types of things, other animals. It talks about what they feed on and how these animals that they feed on are amazingly adapted to the environment and being able to fend off. So in essence, what happens is they kill the inferior animals they refer to here. We know from testimony from DNR when they radio collared a few dozen deer east of the Grigla area, they testified that all those deer that came with the radio collars, they tested them and they said that they were all healthy, and within a short period of time after that, many of them had been taken by wolves. We know that. They also talk in here, they make no references to cattle that are being taken. They make no references to turkeys that are being taken. There's no loss to producers and so forth that's mentioned in their curriculum. I just don't see much balance in things that I've looked at here, and to me it's rather disappointing. Thank you.
I see no further questions. I renew my motion that House File 1874 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
No.
Madam Chair, I had my hand up, and your assistant was trying to get your attention.
I don't see your name on the list.
All right, thank you.
The bill is re-referred. Thank you, members, and we don't have time. We have a little bit of extra time, but I don't think it's Representative Hansen. I would think it's. Do you want to start a little bit on heritage, or shall we just wait until Tuesday?
I think if there are, I mean, it was posted. Maybe if there are people from the public would want to provide comment on the bill, because we had heard it before.
Oh, I think that would be a good idea.
We do have public testimony on that, and then that would help when we present it on Tuesday.
Are there members of the public? Just let me ask this first. Are there members of the public who would like to comment on the heritage bill today? You will have an opportunity on Tuesday too, but if you're here and not going to be back or would like to comment today, it would be welcome. I don't see any right now. Representative McNamara.
Madam Chair, is Representative Purcell going to finish going through the bill in Ways and Means then? He did not finish through the bill. We actually voted on it before Subdivision 10 got discussed. I'm just wondering, it's very unusual, we actually adopted a bill when a member was trying to get the attention. One of the members had called for a roll call. You did not honor that. The table clearly note that that was noted. I'm just wondering, are you going to finish it in Ways and Means? Is that the plan? Yeah, well, you can listen to the tape, Madam Chair. Are you going to finish the bill in Ways and Means for the part that was not heard that we voted on before we heard the rest of the bill? I had told you I had questions on the section that Ms. Thornton had started. We've already voted on the bill, I understand that, but are we going to finish it in Ways and Means? And will you ask the current chair of Ways and Means to give me the flexibility if I have questions on the policy of the contract administration to take place in that committee?
That would always be a welcome question in Ways and Means.
It's a policy question, Madam Chair. Thank you.
The question of on the contract would always be a welcome question to Representative Carlson. Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, and I think we have enough time to do this, and Representative McNamara, I did vote on the prevailing side. I would move to reconsider to allow the roll call vote. I did hear the roll call over here.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
But I would, as a member voting on the prevailing side, I would move to reconsider to allow for a revote on this as a roll call.
Just a little information about House rules. You can ask for reconsideration even if you didn't vote on the prevailing side. But
we have one on the prevailing side. And so with that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? We are now, that motion passed. And now I understand somebody asked for a roll call. Who was that, please? Representative Fabian asked for a roll call. That clerk will take the roll. I just make sure that this is on. I am renewing the motion that House File 1874 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Well, Madam Chairman, you do have, a few minutes before we do that, and so maybe if there are any questions about any of the parts in that last question. I wanted to make a compliment on it that I definitely saw that the information management is under the control of Minute, which is a very good step, I think, with these things. But if there are any specific questions, I think, in that last section,
right.
I think you have time to entertain them. Before.
I think that is an excellent idea, Representative Kahn. Thank you for suggesting it. Representative McNamara, what would you like to say?
Well, Madam Chair, my first request would be that we finish the walkthrough of the bill before we vote on it.
Well, no. Madam Chairman, I would just say the bill is before us. It's before us all morning. If there are specific items in that people are interested in, it's written in very plain English. It's very easy. I've already gone through it and found a section to compliment the author of the bill, I guess I should be complimenting on. And I think anyone else can do that also. So
well,
if there are any, Madam Chair, it's your committee, but I would just ask if anyone has any questions about any of the parts of that bill. They're kind of the technical data management, contract management parts that.
I think there were two things that were not, and that Ms. Thornton, if you would just highlight 10B and 10C for us.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Subdivision 10, line 27.22, I briefly spoke to 10A. 10B is the statutory requirement to cost share on the Legislative Coordinating Commission legacy website. That website covers the legacy amendment funds and the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Paragraph C is to LCCMR. We really need to enhance and recreate a new database development We have about 40 years worth of appropriations, and we've been working, and it's, Diana does a great job, but we really need to get into this, into the next century, shall I say, on managing these appropriations so that we can provide updates, reports, and outcomes. Subdivision 11 through is, excuse me, Madam Chair, while I grapple with the paper, subdivision 11 through subdivision 18 are rather standard rider language that have been before the legislature over the years. It has been slightly tweaked, as Representative Kahn mentioned, so that we are up to date on what organizations are called, statutory references, and so forth. So it basically is what we work with. We work with project managers on how these appropriations are managed on behalf of the legislature. Subdivision 19 is what we call carry forward. Do you want me to keep going, Madam Chair? You asked just about subdivision 10. I apologize.
Yeah. No, I think just if there are any questions at this point, because this is standard language that's been before us. Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Purcell, I'm just curious, how does the contract administration for LCCMR compare to Lessard Sams?
I know.
As a percentage of the grants to the cost of administration. The cost of administration for LCCMR, I believe, is $135,000 in the second year. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Lessard Sams is $175,000. Maybe if I'm trying to work off of memory, and I'm just curious, if I'm not mistaken, this has substantially a higher cost of administration. And I just wanted that to be on the record, that be known. I know it has a smaller grant amount, and I'm wondering if you know how it relates to Lessard Sams or if Ms. Thornton does.
I do not. Representative McNamara will ask if there's.
I think we can ask that and bring that forward. We are now out of time, and we are going to do the roll call that was requested.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that was my only.
Okay. We will make sure that we have that information for you, just to be crystal clear here, Representative Hanson.
Just to reference, it's $150,000 in outdoor heritage.
I am renewing my motion that House File 1874 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. We are in a roll call. Paul?
Aye.
McNamara?
No.
Anderson P?
Aye.
Benson?
Aye.
Bly?
Aye.
Clark? Dill?
Aye.
Erickson R?
Aye.
Fabian?
No.
Freiberg?
Aye.
Hackbar?
No.
Hamilton? Excused. Hansen?
Yes.
Kahn?
Aye.
Keel?
No.
Poppy?
Aye.
Torkelson?
Aye.
Ward?
Aye.
What's being missed? There being 13 ayes and 4 nays, the bill is re-referred to Ways and Means. With that, members, now the meeting is adjourned.